Open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. That's in the New Testament, in case you're wondering. I love it. I love South Dakota. We just traveled all over the United States. Some of those areas are so gorgeous and so pretty, but I love coming back home. I love coming to places where there's really four seasons, and the other ones aren't just ones that you hear about. So we like being here. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to start at verse number 11. And his gifts were that some should be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood. Everybody say mature. To mature manhood. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the cunning of men, by their craftiness and deceitful wiles. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up. Look at somebody and say, grow up. Did that feel good? We are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, knit and joined together by every joint with which it supplies, when each part is working properly, makes bodily growth and upbuilds itself in love. Talking about growing this morning, talking about growth. Talking about, I love Linda talked about the Word of God. Here's the statement that I made the other day, and Marnie's like, "Oh, that's good. You should preach on that." And I'm like, "I think you're right." And so we just happened to be talking in conversation, and we were talking about that. And I said, "You know what? Every living thing grows." She's like, "Oh, that's really good. It doesn't sound profound, but stop and think about that for a second. Every living thing grows. Everything that's alive, by nature, by definition, it's meant to grow. You were meant to grow. Plants grow. Children grow. Like if Maddie, we just were at her birthday party last week. She was 73 years old. No. Turned 8 last week. And if we had a birthday party next year, and then the next year after that, we had another birthday party, and then the next year after that, we had another birthday party. And we did that, I don't know, for maybe like 20 years. And then at like her 28th birthday party, she still was this tall and still had all her baby teeth and her hair hadn't gotten any longer. And she looked just the same as, like, we would say, I think there's something wrong with this picture, wouldn't we? Why? Because it's natural to grow. We expect to grow. We were listening to kids talk the other night about having growing pains. Oh, no, I was on my bus. They're all talking about having growing pains. You guys remember that? Those days. It's good to grow, but sometimes it's not easy, is it? It hurts. So the Bible talks about us growing. It talks about in Ephesians here where we're to mature and we're to grow up and make bodily growth. Every living thing grows. Shauna, can you put that definition up there? We looked up grow in the dictionary. And we put it on a slide so that we could read it. It says to increase by natural development as any living organism or part by assimilation of nutriment. How often do you use the word nutriment in your conversations? Or to increase in size or substance. We're to assimilate nutriment. What's nutriment? Yeah. We assimilate things that are meant to help us grow, and then by that, we have increase. We get stronger, we get bigger, we get, you know, whatever. Some of us get a lot bigger because of too much nutriment. But it's natural for us to grow. And so that's what I want to challenge us with this morning. Have anyone in this congregation this morning, have any one of you ever lived normal daily life? We are immersed in the day-to-day, aren't we? Has anyone ever been stressed about anything? Two people, okay. Maybe you guys can tell the rest of us what it feels like to be stressed, because it's intense. And oftentimes what I find as just being a friend or a husband or a pastor, hearing stories and watching people, I find that oftentimes we get in survival mode, don't we? How many times is that even people's answer? Well, I'm surviving. I'm hanging in there. Like that's and they're not intentionally trying to say that, but that's kind of the frame that we're in. Well, I'm surviving. I'm just alive. Tomorrow I'll be just alive. And then the next day I'll be hopefully just alive. And that is never God's plan for us. That's never God's heart for us. That's never what we were designed for. We were never designed to just make it. We were never designed to get from the, like the purpose for this day is for me to get to this day. Whew, made it through that one. Next day, all right. Made it through that one. And pretty soon you've got 300 or 400 or 3,000 or 4,000 of those days that you just got through. And you look backwards, and that's where midlife crisis kind of things come into play. Because you're like, wait a minute, I just got through days. That's all I did is just get through days. You are not called to just get through days. You are called to be overcomers. You are called to thrive. You are called to walk with purpose. You are called to walk in destiny. You are called to hear and receive from heaven and to live out kingdom life here on this earth. And even in the church, so many times we get bogged down with, and I've done it 1,000 times. I mean, I've poured out my heart to Stephen more than once. I'm just surviving here. And there's seasons where we do that. We live in a state where there's lots of seasons. There's 4 seasons. And if you go out, and so many times we planted trees, lots of trees, about 2,400 trees, something like that. And so many times we'd think, oh, they died. And so many times they did. But then other times we'd say, look, it's coming back to life again because it was a different season. It had gone dormant. All of you guys that farm or know anything about how plants work, there's seasons where trees lose their leaves and things go dead. But they're not dead. They're either storing up food or they're doing what they need to do in that season. So I just wanted to bring that out, that sometimes growth looks different in different seasons, but you're meant to grow. Not all growth looks the same. Not every plant grows at the same rate, but we're all designed to grow. And sometimes there's seasons where it doesn't look like we're growing at all, but we better be living with purpose and potential and destiny in mind and either getting healed or maybe sometimes God's preparing us for the next growth spurt that's coming up. But we're designed to grow. We're designed to add to our lives mainly by the Word of God, by experiences, by relationships. But we're to take that and we're to assimilate that into our lives. I don't know if you caught that or not. Say assimilate. Do you know what assimilate means? If you're Star Trek fans, the Borg assimilate. Okay, they make it a part of their own. If you eat food, it's then assimilated into who you are. It's added to who you are. Bible says that all things work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. Yes or no? Yes. How many things? All things. Now, we're to grow from the nutrients that we get from the Word of God. We're to grow from the relationships that he puts in our life. We're to grow from the people that challenge us. We're to grow from the pastors and the leaders that God's put into our life. We're to grow from our own devotions and hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. But here's something that we don't think of often. We're to grow from everything that God has put in our life. So often we waste the circumstances that God has us in right now because God, if that verse is true, then God has growth in mind for me in whatever I am in right now, period. God wants me not just to survive this. God doesn't want me to survive. God wants me to increase. God has designed you to increase and to grow. And so if you're in a struggle, if you're in a tough time, God's got you right there. And I'm not saying that he created that. I'm not saying he did that. But in the middle of that, he's causing you to be nurtured and pruned and to grow for something else that's coming up. And just because that's your nature, you're to grow. And so if you're in survival mode all the time, we end up wasting some of our best soil. Sometimes feel like life just dumped a load of manure in your life. Guess what? God's like, ooh, that's rich stuff. You're really going to grow, right? Right? Still smells like manure. Still feels like you're in a pile of manure. But God has got that designed to jumpstart your growth. and to feed you in a way that you could not get if everything was smooth sailing. And it's not only in the rough times that we grow, but I really wanted to point that out, that so often we waste those moments where God's giving us super grow. And we're like, get it out of here, because we don't like that. I don't like how this smells and feels and tastes and touch. God, I just want to go back to when everything's just smooth sailing. And those are the seasons that God is developing character in you so that you can pour into others. So we're meant to grow. We're not supposed to be in survival mode. And those situations get assimilated into our life. I've said it here before, but those things that you get the victory over, those things that you walk through, those times of doubt, those times of fear, those times of lack, when you walk through them and you see God come through, and now you know that God can move in that kind of situation, you get authority over that. And that becomes a part of your spiritual DNA. You can now walk through that with a greater level of authority next time, bringing people with you. You're like, hey, I'll show you the way. I've been through here before, and I own this situation. I own the victory in this, because God gave me, you know, the Israelites built altars all the time. They were always remembering what God did so that could become a part of them. They could assimilate that and they could grow. It didn't always work, but that was the intention of it, is to look at them and remember. When you walk through those tough times, you're meant to assimilate those things, not the junk of it, but the victory of it. Sometimes we take the junk with it too. God's like, wait a minute, you didn't take the wrapper off that. Don't eat the whole thing. You're meant to assimilate the victory, not the junk in the middle of it. We're meant to grow into the image of Christ. Open up your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. There, I want to show you an incredible key of something that I think is profound. 1 Peter chapter 2. They'll put it up on the screen. I'm certain of it. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. So get the junk out. Like newborn babies, crave spiritual milk. I think that one says long for. Yep. It's the same word. Long for spiritual milk, crave spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up into your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. I was reading this and I saw that section. And you guys have read this scripture before, right? Long for the pure spiritual milk, and mine says crave the pure spiritual milk. Authentic spiritual growth happens when we're willing to submit our cravings to God. You guys, a lot of our lives is dictated by cravings. It's determined by what we long for, by what our heart is drawn to. And I was just thinking about that. I was thinking about people's cravings, and I was thinking about growth, and I was thinking about, you know, so many times, seasons of my life, I haven't grown. I still read, and I still whatever, but I haven't grown. And I really think a key to growth is engaging your cravings and your appetites for the things of God. I don't think that you will ever achieve the growth that God wants you to have until you engage your appetites and your things, your cravings in your heart toward the things of God. Does that make sense? Because think about when you first got saved and how excited you were. Your appetite was for the things of God. And so many people, when they first get saved, they just grow by leaps and bounds. And then, you know, life comes in and whatever and whatever. And it's not that we don't love God anymore. It just, we aren't hungering for the things of God. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. To continue to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Why? You're blessed because then you're going to grow. You're going to hunger for the things of God. You're going to grow because you're going to go towards what your appetite is seeking. And so I've thought about that in my own life and with other people. Why don't they grow? Like, they've been saved like 20 years. Like, why have they never progressed? Why, you know, I look at my own life. God, why have I not grown in these areas? Why have I not made the progress that I want to see? I think it has to do with our cravings. What are we craving? And so you're like, well, you can't just go crazy. Has anyone ever had a craving before? Chili? Chocolate? Coffee? Love? At first I was like, well, I don't know. Can you, like, can you change what you're craving? Because sometimes when I'm craving something, like I'm just craving it. And so I thought about it. God never calls us to do something that he doesn't empower us to do. That would be cruel. We serve a good, good father. So if he's challenging us to crave spiritual milk, then we have the capacity and the ability through the power of the Holy Spirit to change what we crave. Well, how do we change what we crave? Well, see, he could have said, read spiritual milk, or take in spiritual milk, or get some spiritual milk. You know what he said? He said, crave spiritual milk, long for it. That's the command there. It's not just read the Word of God. That's not what it says. It says crave spiritual milk so that you by that you might grow up in your salvation. That's what it says right here. Crave it so that you can grow. If you crave it, then you'll grow. Get your cravings after spiritual milk, then you're going to grow. If you crave it, you're going to grow. Because I see so many people, myself included, I'm like, okay, well, we're getting spiritual things here. I'm not growing. But I'm not really craving it either. I'm just like, well, that's a good thing. But I'm not craving it. And I know in those seasons when I am craving the things of God, I see just exponential growth in my life. And I'm like, huh, that's interesting. Can I change my cravings? We just went on a two-week trip, as you know, 5,152 miles. And for me, it was the barbecue tour. We went to 14 barbecue places in 15 days. Hit the four main barbecue regions, the Carolinas, Texas, Memphis, and Kansas City, and got to try all the different barbecue places. We tried vinegar-based sauces and mustard-based sauces. We tried burnt ends, brisket ends. We had pulled pork. We had ribs. We had smoked chicken. We had some smoked turkey in Texas. Oh, make you just melt. We had some of the beans, Stephen. If I could have shipped them to you, I would have shipped you a bathing tub of beans because you would have just rolled in them. We had something called New Brunswick stew, traditionally made in the Carolinas with like rabbit or possum or whatever. They had pork in it because it's a little more mainstream now. But that you take a bite of that and you just like the fly that's flying by. You see it and it's like, time stops. It's so good. Oh my gosh. Oh. Seeing the drop of sweat, bloop. Barbecue was so amazing. And so when I tell these stories, sometimes we'll be talking about these stories, and about halfway through the stories, myself and the other people that are we're doing this. Because we're tantalizing our emotions and our imagination, and guess what's happening? You know, we get done with those, oh, now I want barbecue. I don't know if I've heard it once, I've heard it 100 times with these stories. Now I want barbecue or I want whatever else we're talking about. Why? Because we stimulated our cravings for that. Oh, I see. Yeah? You can stimulate your cravings for things. Let me read this again. Listen, just focus, just over here. Like newborn babies, crave spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Oh, come on. Now that you've tasted that, let's activate our cravings. Let's crave the things of God, because you can go to church all you want and you can read all you want. And please, you have to do those things if you want to grow. But if you're not craving the things of God, you're just going to be doing religious rituals. Come on, that's what separates it. That's what separates the religion from the relationship. And it's good. We have to. We've got to be in the Word. We've got to know what He says. We've got to pray. We've got to worship. But when it becomes, I've got to worship and I've got to pray, when my cravings are not activated, when my appetite is not for the things of God, then it just becomes ritual. Then it becomes dry and lifeless. And God hasn't called us to be dry and lifeless. He's made us fully alive. So if I can stimulate my cravings, and I can do that, I can whet my appetite for the things of God. And if we don't think it's worth it, then we haven't really tasted and seen how good God is. We need to remind ourselves, whoa, that's the path I was on. Whoa, God, you are so good. Oh, look at, and we need to be aware of God's sightings, of what He's doing. We were on our trip And we prayed every morning, except for one or two. We prayed every morning for safety and blah, 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 you know, give us a good day, whatever. And we prayed for favor. So God, give us favor. We prayed two things. We prayed for favor, and we prayed that we would be a blessing. Spread the fragrance of Christ and be a blessing wherever we go. That not only would we just, a selfish prayer, just favor, but also that we would be a blessing. And it was incredible. Just the people that we ran into, you know, some friends of ours that we hadn't seen, a different set of friends, you know, for like 20 years. And they're like, come on vacation with us next year. I'm like, I haven't seen you for 20 years. They wanted us to go to Europe with them. And I'm like, we're saving up for it now. I'm like, what is that, that you haven't seen me for 20 years? Our lives are on two different tangents. Why would you invite me in this intimate family time that you're saving up thousands of dollars for? And Marnie, it really bothered me. Honestly, Marnie and I were talked about it. We had a lot of time because we drove a lot. And I said, what was that? Why would they, that doesn't make any sense. Our lifestyles are completely different. They would think it was horrible to have us with. Like, we're quenching their fun because we're not going to do the stuff you're going to do. Why is that? And Marnie said, because she was talking about me. She said, I think you bring life. I think you bring life, and they're attracted to that. And I don't know what it is, but I just found it. So that's one of the things that we prayed for, that we would be a blessing everywhere we go. And you know what? What we found? We found it turned into like not a joke, not like as a making fun, but kind of we would laugh about it. We'd go favor every time something awesome would happen. We would recognize it instead of calling it a coincidence. We'd look at one another and we'd say favor. And it happened all the time, and everybody started laughing, you know, about on the 10th day, we're just like, favor! It would happen all the time. And it got, just so it was ridiculous, the people that were we kept seeing along the way, friends of ours, they kept saying things, almost verbatim, things like this never happen. We want to show the kids kind of the culture and, you know, just what different areas have to offer, food and, you know, music and whatever. And so one of the places we went, there was these street musicians, they're violin players. And just phenomenal violin players. And my friend Brian, he's like, I've lived here my entire life. He's just about 40 years old. He said, I've never seen him out during the day. They've never been out. In 40 years, they've never been out during the day, ever. He's like, you guys are getting a rare treat today. This never happens. Favor. So we begin to recognize God things in our life. We begin to recognize where God's intervening. We begin to recognize God's goodness. Now that I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, I want to taste more of that. And you know what it does? It whets your appetite. You just all of a sudden you're like, man, I want to be more of a blessing. I want to touch more lives. I want to be more alive in Him. I want to do what He wants me to do. I want to see God moving. I want to hear His voice. I want to be, you know, directed. We're in Shreveport because we had to steer around the hurricane. We were going to go down south first, but we ended up going east of Dallas. So just this was last minute. We were in Shreveport, and we were eating Cajun food. Oh, come on. We had one restaurant. We found alligator, crawfish, etouffee, gumbo, jambalaya, red beans and rice, Bodan sausage, and one other thing. Can't remember. And so we got all of that, and the waitresses kept bringing stuff out, and they're like, that's a lot of food. Like, we want to try it all. And so there was an older couple sitting next to us, and they commented on our baby, you know, buy that baby for $1.50, and, you know, just like that. And so we kind of were laughing a little bit. And afterwards, we said, hey, where are you guys from? And they said, about two blocks down the road. When I go to a restaurant and I find locals there, come on, that's money. I'm like, you guys are local, and you're eating here. That's a good thing. And they're like, yeah, this is the best around. And so we ended up talking. End up that they're Christians. They prayed with us before we left. And they said, you're not planning on going down Highway 49 because the hurricane was there. And we said, well, we kind of were thinking going down 49. They said, you shouldn't do that. We said, okay. They said, it gets really low, really fast. You don't want to go there. Walked out to the car. Favor. Just that God would have these locals. They would comment, start the conversation, end up being Christians. And so he was kind of sad. And remember the other prayer that we'd be a blessing? Remember that one? So he's, you know, we're just kind of finished up our food. We're standing, waiting to pay the bill, whatever. And so John, you know, he's a bigger guy, big white beard, smile from ear to ear, you know, just one of those guys that you just want to just hug. And he's like, oh, yeah, my grandbabies are 24. And he's like, I don't get to hold babies anymore. I said, here, you better hold this one then. He just melted. His wife was up at the counter. Kathy! 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 Look! Kathy! We asked Aspen. We asked all the kids. We drove 5,000 miles. This is our third trip now. We said, what was one of your highlights on the trip? Aspen, immediately. John and Kathy. Seeing John and Kathy, getting to meet them, getting to be a blessing, getting to pour into lives. God moments. That makes me hungry for the things of God. That makes me hungry to see God do other things in my life. And you know what? That's going to make me grow. Because when our appetites are for the things of God, we want to grow. My alarm is going off, so that means we're just about done. And right before that verse in 1 Peter, it says, get rid of all that stuff, crave spiritual milk. Right before that, in the chapter right before that, it ends with this. So it's kind of setting up. So when I read that verse, it says, therefore, rid yourself. I love Pastor Fearing. He always says, when you see a therefore, find out what it's there for. In the scripture, that's just a good little, what do you call those statements, to help you remember things. When you see a therefore, find out what it's there for. That means go back and see what the context is. And the context is this verse. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable seed through the living and enduring word of God. It says you've been born again with seed. There's seed in you. What is a seed supposed to do? What happens if a seed doesn't grow? It's bad. Dig it up and it's lost. Seeds are meant to grow. I love that. I didn't even see that before, but I found out what it was there for. I went back. And the reason that we're supposed to crave spiritual milk, therefore, it's because we've been put a seed of life in us. And remember what kind of things grow? Living things. Living things grow. Let me just read this last verse to you. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Verse 3 says this. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings. Everybody say cravings. We were gratifying the cravings of our flesh. And it says this, we were following its desires and thoughts. We were like the rest. We were by nature deserving of wrath. Now listen to this. But because of his great love, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ when we were dead in transgressions. Made us alive in Christ. He made us alive in Christ. If we're alive, then we need to grow, right? One of the greatest keys to growth is, what am I craving? The Bible says I've always found this strange. This verse I'm going to kind of quote to you. Paul said, so speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Who does that? Dude, for great is the Lord and worthy of praise, for he has ascended upon the Most High. Speaking a song, that's just strange. And so I've always struggled with that verse. You know why that is? Because what makes me crave barbecue? Well, when we sit around talking about barbecue. What makes me crave muffaladas? Oh, our friend PR, bless his soul. We went to Walmart and a muffalata, you know what's on top of them? Olive salad. It's these olives and cauliflower and carrots all in this olive oil and vinegar and pickled. And that's what makes a muffalata. It's Cajun food. He bought us 2 jars of olive salad to take back to South Dakota with us. So we were scooping out olive salad the other night. But you know what makes us hungry for that stuff? When we sit around and talk about olive salad and we talk about Cajun food, when we have shared experience, Stephen and Trisha and Marnie and I drove to Stillwater, Minnesota, which is about 4 hours away, 2 months ago, a month and a half ago, for the express purpose of going to Smalley's Jamaican food. So we were with the waiter there who's from England. And we're like, whoa, you're from England. And he's like, yeah. He's like, where are you guys from? We said, South Dakota. Well, why are you here? Certainly not just for the Jamaican tacos. We said, nope, we're here for the Jamaican tacos. We drove 4 hours just for tacos, period. End of story. Didn't we? Am I lying? We had the conversation. We're like, we need to go to Smalley's. Okay, let's go. Because we have these shared experiences and we can draw upon that, we both love food. Really. And because we can talk about new experiences, you know what it does? It keeps our appetites for that hungry. So speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Talk about what the Lord is doing. Why? Because we're sharing these experiences and I'm whetting your appetite for what, see what God's doing in my life? Oh, I had my friend, you should have seen how God showed up for him the other day. And you walk away from that going, oh, I want to see that. I want to see that. That's why we're always asking for testimonies. Nothing's too small. We want to recognize God moments. And so when we talk about that stuff, when we interact on that level, if all we're ever talking about is the weather and the Vikings and other depressing things, except for this year, they're doing pretty good. We're always going to operate on that fleshly level. We're and I'm not saying that you walk around with a hood and hum, you know. But we're bringing this kingdom life into our everyday, ordinary life. And we're letting that kingdom talk and ideas and God moments season everything we do so that everyone gets hungry for that. And when we get hungry, when we crave God things, we grow. When we crave God things, we grow. Otherwise, we're just doing religious stuff. But when we set our hearts on those things, we come alive and we grow and it's rich and it's powerful. Amen?